you don't get your freedom of religion by curtailing somebody else's freedom of speech.
From Interfaith Alliance, this is The State of Belief. I'm Interfaith Alliance President Reverend Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch in New York City.
These things work together. And so it's really important to understand you need those diverse books there in order to have religious freedom.
There is a relentless push to rewrite history and erase stories that don't fit with a narrow view of who matters and who doesn't. But challenges are happening, and a top voice in that effort to push back against censorship is activist and advocate Kelly Jensen. On this week's show, we'll get into what the stakes are and what principled resistance looks like. Today's topic is censorship and book banning. At the end of the show, you'll hear from a civil rights activist who was literally a student of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His lifetime of experiences and activism are represented by treasured items he generously donated to the Smithsonian Institution, only to have them sent back recently. So make sure you keep listening to find out about that story. I'll be joined by NAACP of San Francisco President, Reverend Dr. Amos Brown. We need these conversations now more than ever. If this is something you care about, please make sure that you subscribe and share and rate the State of Belief podcast at Apple Podcasts or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. Our library of past conversations includes over 100 hopeful, empowering interviews with guests like Michael Eric Dyson, Representative Eric Swalwell, author Catherine Stewart, Amy Spitalnik, the list goes on and on and on. So you can help grow the State of Belief with a financial contribution right now. Find out how on stateofbelief.com, and you can support and join us in the work of Interfaith Alliance at interfaithalliance.org. And now we are going to get to our guest. Kelly Jensen is a passionate advocate for intellectual freedom, democracy, and the right to read. As an editor, writer, and former librarian, Kelly has been on the front lines of the fight against book bans and censorship, shedding light on how these issues intersect with broader threats to democracy and religious freedom. Through her work at Book Riot and her extensive research on challenges to access and information, she's become a leading voice in the movement to protect diverse stories and ensure that all communities, especially young readers, have access to the books that shape their understanding of the world. Today, we will dive into the growing wave of censorship, the role of religious extremism in book banning efforts, and what we can do to safeguard free expression and democratic values. And so, Kelly Jensen, welcome to the State of Belief.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited to have this conversation with you, even if the topic isn't always the happiest to talk about.
You're a former librarian, and maybe you consider that. Maybe one is never a former librarian. Maybe one is once a librarian, always a librarian. But like, talk a little bit about, like, you know, and we'll get into policy and we'll get into all that. But like, I think it's really important to start with the emotional impact of what is happening right now.
One of the things that I think about and try to mention as much as possible is that most people, and we know this through research, most people love their libraries. Most people also enjoy their public schools. A significant number, and I want to say it's in the 80s to 90s in percentage, trust their public librarians, trust their school librarians. These are really, really great facts and statistics. And yet, it is that trust and it's that appreciation that sometimes can make people not realize what's actually happening, you know, because they appreciate it and they know so many people do. They aren't thinking about the tools and tactics being used by that small percentage who are causing the problems day after day. So for a lot of the average library users, they just don't know. And that's not their fault. I think that there has been a better understanding of the importance of showing up for your libraries, particularly in the last year, as more and more of this has gotten to your average Joe, you know, who loves the library and has just never needed to advocate for it because it's always been there. And I think we're seeing that show up with people learning a lot more about what their libraries do, learning a lot more about how they're run, and learning a lot more about how the different structures within their community impact that. You know, a lot of people didn't know the role of library boards and the role that they individuals have with library boards, right? Whether they're elected or appointed, a citizen showing up to a library board meeting and giving feedback, positive feedback, simple positive feedback is huge. And
huge.
I think that for so long, just because it's been an institution people care about and like, they've forgotten that they still have to do the good things to show up for their libraries.
I think that's 100%. And I'll just mention, like, when 2 years ago or so, I went down to Southwest Florida, and we were starting a new Interfaith Alliance down there. And one of their priorities, they were like, we want to deal with censorship. Mm-hmm. Because that county, Collier County, it had something like 600 books taken off the shelf. I went down there to give a talk, and the headline was 600 books taken off shelves. And I think it was a wake-up call. And one of the things that I've been working with ALA and others about is, like, actually, a lot of the attacks are coming from people who are using religion as a pretext, saying, my religion says that my kids shouldn't be exposed to this. And so they're attacking, obviously, LGBT or anything having to do with that. Books that feature Black characters are taken off the shelves because that's somehow intimidating. And then also what people are less likely to know is that often books that have Muslim characters or Jewish characters or Sikh characters or Hindu characters that are not white Christians are, you know, that's intimidating. And so, you know, I've one of the things that I've been kind of, you know, hitting the campaign trail about is, like, this is a religious issue. This is a religion issue, because if you take away stories, you're taking away religion. There is no religion without stories. And if you're taking away the stories of diverse communities, You're basically establishing one religion as the normative religion, and all the others are allowed to exist, even or even maybe not. And so I just think it's really important for the listeners to understand how it's so important, Kelly, the work that you're doing, and why I feel so passionate about it.
This makes me think of two things. The first being that, the First Amendment protects five freedoms, right? What is really important to understand is an attack on one of those freedoms is an attack on all of those freedoms. So you don't get your freedom of religion by curtailing somebody else's freedom of speech. These things work together, right? And so it's really important to understand, you know, you need those diverse books there in order to have religious freedom.
That's right.
Access to a wide range of perspectives opens up your understanding of your own faith beliefs.
We need to take a quick break, but there's much more with Kelly Jensen coming right up. And later, Reverend Dr. Amos Brown with a personal story of censorship. You're listening to The State of Belief, brought to you by Interfaith Alliance.